let's discuss a few things relating to Parashas Lech Lecha. Okay, let's start with a very short vart. I have a lot of stuff there from Rav Pinchas Friedman. But before we get there, I just want to bring out a few short things. We learn about Sodom. In this week's Parashah, we have a dispute between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram. And Avram says to Lot, you know, it's not a good idea that we stay together. Let's separate. Go left, right, wherever you go, I'll be by your side. Okay, so the pasuk says, where did Lot decide to go?
Which pasuk?
I'm reading in Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Yud Beis, Avram, Yosha, Bi'eretz, Kinoan. So Lot chose to go to Sodom. Now, how could it possibly? So we went. What was Sodom? The Anshei Sodom roim v'chatoim laHashem od. They were terrible sinners. It's a very powerful pasuk. Anshei Sodom roim v'chatoim. They were evil and sinners, la Hashem to Hashem me'od, very much. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, powerful words, la Hashem me'od, yoydim riboinam, they knew their Creator, the people of Sodom knew about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, umischavnim limroid bo, and they had intent to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now when the pasuk describes Sodom, it says, going back to Pasuk Yud, Vayisalot Eseina, Vayar Eskol Kikar Hayardain, Ki Chula Mashke. What did he see about Sodom? What was the beauty of Sodom? Lifnei Shaches Hashem Es Sodom V'Yesamoro. The Torah describes Sodom as Kigan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Two different expressions. On the one hand, Sodom was like the garden of Hashem, Gan Eden. And on the other hand, it was Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. What does this mean? Rashi explains, Kigan Hashem Li'ilonois. In Gan Eden, there are no vegetables. Gan Eden is a garden. In Gan Eden, there are the best fruit, exotic fruits. In Egypt, there are no gardens. Egypt is a land of irrigation, and they produce vegetables, exotic vegetables. So, Ke'eretz Mitzrayim Lizra'im. So the simple interpretation of Sodom, the Milo of Sodom was, it was a land that was blessed, a very unique land, the best fruit and the best vegetables. With regard to fruit, it was Kigan Hashem, it's Rashi, okay, like the garden. And with regard to vegetables, it was like Ke'eretz Mitzrayim, where they had the best vegetables, because in Mitzrayim there's no lack of water. It was a land that was irrigated from the Nile, and they were able to produce the highest quality vegetables. Sodom had the mildest of both. Yeah?
He's a shepherd.
Lot. Yeah.
Not a farmer.
He wanted to change professions. He wanted to make a midlife career change. Okay, he was a doctor his life. Now he wants to be a lawyer. He wants to tam. He wants to go into politics after all these years. He wants the career change. So this is how it's described in the Torah. Sodom is Kigan Hashem Ki Eretz Mishra Mastil. If you want to make a fruit store on Avenue J or Avenue M, so you can have Blue Ribbon. So they sell the best fruits and the best vegetables of the orchard. It's a great name. You should call it Sodom. It's a great name for a store. Sodom, because Sodom is Kigan Hashem Ki Eretz Mitzrayim, the best fruits and the best vegetables. What a great name for a store. Okay, but I want to point what?
Vegetarianism.
Sodom. Only after what? Only fruits and vegetables. They don't have, there's no mention in Sodom that there are animals. Okay, now the only point I want to make here, I want to connect these two psukim together to teach us a very, very important lesson. It is a very unusual expression to describe Sodom as Gan Eden. I mean, that's not the way people think about Sodom. Sodom is not Gan Eden. Sodom is a place of the Anshei Sodom Roim V'Chatoim L'Hashem Me'od. They're extremely extremely evil. As the Rashi says, they knew about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they had intent to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how then can it be described as Kigan Hashem? So Rashi says, it doesn't mean it's the Midos, it doesn't mean they're a Malachim, it's a spiritual country. It means they have good fruit and vegetables. But I think there's a deeper meaning. The deeper meaning is that Sodom had the greatest potential for spirituality. Why was it that in Sodom they were extremely wicked? There's nowhere in the world that's more wicked than Sodom. Sodom is used as a mashal throughout the entire Tanakh, Ad HaYom Hazeh, as a place where people that are Rishoyim Gemurim, Yoydim Es Hashem, Umschavnim Limroid Bo. The answer is, you know why they're so wicked? It's because they had the greatest potential to be tzaddikim. It's because Yoydim Hashem, because Sodom was a place that they knew about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a place where they sensed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shekhinah was there. It was there for whatever reason. It was a place where the Shekhinah rested. But they chose, instead of developing, harnessing that potential to become holy people and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they chose to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the deeper meaning of it. It's Kigan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. There's nowhere in the world that's more holy than Gan Eden. Adam and Chava were created. Where did Hashem put them? In Gan Eden. This was the spiritual bliss before the Chet of Eitz Hadas. And there's nowhere in the world that's more defiled than Eretz Mitzrayim. It's described as the Ervas Haaretz. Egypt is a place of Zima. Right. It's the lowest of the low. So what is Sodom? On the one hand, it had potential to be Kigan Hashem. But because Yoidim Riboinam Umitzchavnim Lirdoispo, that's why it was able to turn into the Ke'eretz Mitzrayim, equal to the Ervas Haaretz, to the lowliest land in the world. Because Ze Le'umaze Barulukim, you always find the place where there's the greatest potential is the place where there is the greatest danger. If you don't harness and develop the potential, that potential can become and haunt you, can be used against you and turned into the koichos of tum or the koichos of ra. And that's exactly the lesson to learn from stone. It's Kigan Hashem. We think of stone, kula rishon. No, it was a failure. It had the greatest potential. Kigan Hashem. They didn't develop the potential. It turned in Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Rashi, Yoidim Es Riboinam. Other countries, they don't know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't know. They don't have that sensitivity to acknowledge there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't have that sensitivity, so you don't become that wicked. So how wicked can you already become? It's only when you have that potential does there potential for wickedness. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, now this idea, you know me by now, I'm not such a big fan of gematrias, but this is a very good gematria, and it opens up a lot of different issues. I saw all of this in Rav Pinchas Friedman's Sefer Shvili Pinchas, one of the more recent volumes, and it made an impression on me, and it answers a Gemara which I never ever understood. Finally, I got an appreciation for a Gemara in the Sechta Sukkah on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. Now let me read you the Gemara right away.
What Gemara is that?
Sukkah, the Sechta Sukkah on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. The Gemara talks about the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa was sitting in a sukkah. Let me find it. Okay, here it is. Ahi Safta, there was a woman, an older woman. The Asai L'Kamei D'Rav Nachman. She came before Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was part of the family of the Reish Galusa, the head of the Golas, the leader of Klal Yisrael and Golas. Amrulei Reish Galusa. Amrulei. So she made an announcement. She comes into the sukkah. She walks into the sukkah. She gives a clap. The Rav Nachman is giving a drasha, and she says, "Rav Nachman, please excuse me. Reish Galusa, the head of the Golas, the Rosh HaYeshiva, the Chulu Rabban, everyone here in this sukkah, the Bei Reish Galusa, the sukkah Gezula HaVeyasve, you're all a bunch of Ganovim. Everyone here is Binyana from Gezel. You're all Ganovim. The schach was stolen from me. The servants came, they went to my backyard, they chopped down a tree, took the wood, and made the wood into the schach of this sukkah. So you, all of you should know, you all being over on Gezel. Tzavcha, so she kept on repeating her drasha, no one paid attention. They just said, this woman is a meshugana, get her out of here. They didn't pay attention to her. V'loy ashkach bo. Rav Nachman did not pay attention to her. Rav Nachman just said, ignore her. Amrulei, so she said to Rav Nachman, how dare you ignore me? How dare you? It is so, the havalei le'alvuha, you know who I am? I'm a miyuchesas. You know who my Zayda was? My Zayda was Avraham Avinu. It is so, the havalei le'alvuha, t'las me'a, v'tamnei s'le avdei. My Zayda, Avraham Avinu, had 318 servants. It's tzavcha kamaychu. It's screaming. It's making a macha. V'lo ashkechisu bo. And you don't pay attention. How dare you? I come from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a great man. And what was his greatness? If I would ask you about the greatness of Avraham Avinu, what would you say? You'd say a million things. I don't think you would say that his greatness was the fact that he had 318 servants that he marshaled, he collected to fight to save the life of Lot when Lot was captured by Melech Sodom. Rav Nachman says, "Pi'ita hida." This woman just makes a lot of noise. Ignore her. The Ein law, she says that the wood is stolen. No, the wood is stolen. Even if she's right, there's something called Takonas Morish. But Takonas Morish is a halacha. If a person steals a beam, and you steal building materials, and you use those building materials to build a house, and then it's discovered you're a ganav. So normally we have halacha of Heshev es Hagzela Asher Gazal. May Iker Hadin, you are required to take apart the building. To take apart the building and return all of the building materials. Return all the screws, return the beams, return the boiler, return everything, return it back to the store in new condition. But Chazal said, if we're going to require a person to bring back the building materials, they're not going to do tshuva, it's too difficult. So they said, you know what, don't return the building materials, just pay its market value. Even though may Iker Hadin, the victim, can demand, I want back the building materials, Chazal said, no, the victim does not get back the building materials, he only gets back its market value, and the Ganav is allowed to keep the building materials because we want to make it easy for people to do tshuva for theft. And if we're going to require them to return the actual building materials, it's going to be too difficult, they're not going to do tshuva. This way, the way you'll do tshuva is just give money the equivalent value of what you have stolen. Therefore, maybe she's right, maybe my servants were nichshol in gezel, she'll get a receipt, we'll give her a check. The servant will write her a check for the value of the schach, and she should stop making noise and leave. Now, it always bothered me, this is a famous gemara, you always hear this gemara, what in the world does she say that I'm a miyuchesas because my Zaydi was Avraham Avinu, and you know what his godless is? His godless is he has 318 servants. So this would remind me, they had once, I read in a secular newspaper about Rashi. They wrote, it was Rashi's, whatever it was, I don't remember how many years it was since Rashi's Spatira, whatever, well, they had some write about Rashi. What's the godless of Rashi? So I would ask everyone over here, what's the godless of Rashi? So what would you say? Rashi? Rabban Shel Yisrael. He is the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. If not for Rashi, we would not be able to decipher Tosha B'chsaf. He is part of the Mesorah. There's so many things that you can say to express who Rashi was, how Rashi changed Klal Yisrael, what he did for Klal Yisrael. So what did the secular newspaper write about Rashi? What? No. That Rashi preserved, his greatness was, what his contribution to the world was, he preserved a few of the old French words. Because if not for Rashi's commentary, these few words, there are a handful of words, because the old French language is lost. We don't really have a whole language, we don't have a full dictionary. And there are a couple of words that Rashi defines, which don't appear in the old, traditional old French dictionaries. But through Rashi, Baruch Hashem, we're able to preserve this handful of few. This is Rashi's contribution to civilization. He preserved for us a couple of old French words. Like, what? That's Rashi? You totally missed the boat. totally. It couldn't be more off. Okay, it's true. He preserved a few old French words, but that's not Rashi's legacy in any shape or form. This is the legacy of Avraham Avinu. He has 318 men. That's the best you can say about Avraham Avinu when he's coming to complain. How dare you insult me and ignore me? It's a pillow. Okay, so I never until yesterday saw something which really gave me any satisfaction to explain the significance. But yesterday I came across something which made me very happy. We have over here the story where Lot was captured. Lot was the nephew of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was very concerned with his nephew because it was his brother's son. His brother died al kiddush Hashem, Haran. Haran was the first person to die al kiddush Hashem Shemayim. He died for the cause of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu felt he owed a debt of gratitude to his brother for dying for his cause, and therefore he did everything he could possibly do to save, to care for his brother's son, Lot. Lot was captured, so he got 318 men, his servants. Pasuk Yudalit, Vayavo HaPolid, Yudah Vayishma Avraham Ki Nishba Ochi Vayorek Es Chanichav. He armed, he gave them weapons. Chanichav, his young men, the men that were training, Yilidei Ve'eso Shmoino, also Shlosh Meos, 318 men, Vayudoif Adon. Rashi, Pasuk Yudalid, there were 318 men, Chanichav, who are the young men? Ze Eliezer. There's only one man, Eliezer, Shechanochoi L'mitzvos. And why does it say here there are 318? Shmoyna Osar, Rabbasteinu Amr, Eliezer Levadoi Hoya. For who minion Gematria Shel Shemo? Rashi, Chazal, very rare do we have gematrias in Chumash. Okay, so it's not like a Hasidish gematria from the 21st century. This is from Rashi. So Rashi's gematrias are on a different caliber, a different league. Eliezer, that's shot in the Pasuk. So the Rabbeinu Bachya and other Farshim say, but how could the Pasuk give a gematria? This is not the derech of the Pasuk. There are 318 men, and that turns into Eliezer. It's not satisfying. So Rabbeinu Bachya says, I think it's based on the Medrash, that really Avraham Avinu did have 318 men. But it was the Muhammad's mitzvah. And he told his people, Mihu ish, hayare, v'lerach ha-levav. He made the announcements, like the Koyein, Meshuach Muhammad, we're going to war. We're going out to a very dangerous war. This is a world war. Four kings, five kings, the four kings conquered the five kings, and now we're going to conquer the four kings, because there's one prison that we have to. It's a suicide mission. It's not a mission, a suicide mission. Are you afraid? Did you do an Avera? Did you talk when you put on your tefillin? Between the tefillah shel yad, tefillah shel rosh? If you did an Avera, then you know what? Miracles are not going to happen for you. Maybe you should step aside. So slowly, little by little, the 318 men abandon Avraham Avinu. They said, we're afraid. We are indeed afraid that we're not going to survive the war. And they left. There was only one man left standing. Eliezer. Eliezer was confident. He had no Averos. And therefore he remained. Hashem said, I'm going to give Eliezer the koyach of the original 318 men. So that's why we can at least make a pshar in the pasuk that there were 318 men, but they ran, they defected when they were afraid. He was left with Eliezer. Eliezer happens to be the gematria of 318, and he had the koyach of all of the 318 men. But still, what is the significance of 318? So there's another gematria. Another gematria is 317 is Yeush, is the gematria of to give up. We have this all over Shas. Yeush. This is why I quoted the Gemara. I wouldn't say this if not for the Gemara. That's why I wouldn't tell you gematria of Erlach, but because of this Gemara Masechet Sukkah, that's why this is so meaningful to me. Yeush, what? I'm going to explain. Yeush. Yud Aleph Vav Shin. Yud Aleph Vav Shin. This appears in Shas all over the place. All over Masechet Bava. Yeush means to give up. I give up hope.
It's a concept also in the Gemara.
Exactly. So I'm coming to in a moment. I'm giving up. I'm giving up hope. I give up. 318 is one more than Yeush. It is symbolic. Never give up. Be above giving up. When things are difficult, things are tough and rough in life, don't give up. Be above a matzav of despair. Have hope. Conviction, succeed. 318 is one above Yeyosh. Now the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah makes perfect sense. What is the halacha when it comes to theft? If a person, if Reuven steals a beam from Shimon, the halacha is Reuven is obligated to return the beam. Now, there is a situation where Reuven is not obligated to return the beam, you just return its monetary value. And that is where the victim of theft is miyayish. He gives up, he is in despair. I will never ever find my beam, it was stolen. I had a beautiful beam. It was left down in front of my house. I came back the next day. It's gone. There is no way in the world I'm ever going to retrieve my beam. Now, that's not enough. Just because a person is miyayish, he's still entitled to get back the original beam. But if you combine it with something called shinui rishus, where the beam has now been taken by another person and been put in a new location, there was another person that's walking on the street and he has a watch. He drops the watch. It falls on the floor and he goes home. I'm miyayish. Never find it again. It's still his. Just because you give up, it's still your property. But if you combine yeyush, despair, with shinui rishus, the object has been transferred into a new location, then it's no longer your property. And the most you can demand is to get its monetary value. This is a sugya, major sugya throughout Shas. Yeyush plus shinui rishus. Here we have the woman. The woman owned wood. She had wood in her backyard. Along come the servants of Rav Nachman, the Reish Galus, and they build a sukkah from the wood. So she says, all of you, Rabbanon, you're all sitting in a sukkah, gezula. I want you to, what did she want? I want everyone to get out, and I want you to take apart the sukkah and return the wood back to my backyard. So they looked at her and they says, you know, maybe you're right. So people, how did the Rabbanon react when they were sitting in the sukkah? How did they react? They all said, you know, maybe she's right. Maybe the servants made a mistake and they thought the wood was hefker and really it was private property and they stole the wood. But nevertheless, there's something called yeyush v'shinui rishus. She despaired. It's not likely she has any intent of getting her wood back. She gave up hope. Plus, the wood has now been transferred into the home of the Reish Galusa. So when you have a combination of yeyush v'shinui rishus, she's no longer entitled to get back the actual wood. The most she can get back is its monetary value. So she says, I wasn't miyayish. I never gave up hope. I'm an enikol of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu was a person that was never miyayish. He had 318 servants. In the most desperate situations, when his nephew was taken as a captive by the four kings, and it was nothing less than a suicide mission to retrieve him, Avraham Avinu didn't give up. His army consisted of 318, because 317 is yeyush, 318 is above yeyush. Avraham had an army. The whole essence of his army is never give up. We can accomplish the impossible. And even when everyone in the army gave up, he at least had an Eliezer, who was gematria of 318, was above and beyond. So you're telling me that I'm not entitled to get back my wood? All of you, Rabbanan, get out of the sukkah and get to work and start dismantling the sukkah. Give me back my wood. I was never miyayish. I'm an enikul of Avraham Avinu, whose army was an army whose essence, the slogan of the army was, don't give up. There's always hope. There's always hope above yeyush, 318. So Rav Nachman said, she's taka right. She's taka not miyayish. Me'igur hadin. She's right. She's entitled to get the wood back. And therefore we should all get out of the sukkah and start getting to work and dismantling the sukkah. But there's something a takonas chazal called takonas morish. Takonas hashavim, in order to make it easy for people to do tshuva. So Chazal said, even in this situation where you're not miyayish, you still don't get back the actual building materials, you only get back its monetary value, and if this woman is making too much noise. But it beautifully answers her statement. She was saying, I'm not miyayish. And it's not because, don't tell me because, oh, maybe really you're a liar. I'm not a lawyer. This is who I am. I'm part of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are people that by nature are people who don't give up hope. If she would say, oh, I didn't give up. We don't believe you. You're a liar. You're just a woman. Look at all these men. You're telling her you're going to go up against all these men? Yes, I am. Because this is what Klal Yisrael is. Klal Yisrael is a nation where you never give up no matter what the odds are. Now, Let me give you another example. The Rav Pinchas Shulman goes on and gives two more examples. These are two beautiful examples to bring out this point. We have three tefillos. We have tefillos Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'arif. What is the Ikar tefillah? Chazal say this over and over. Ikar tefillah is Mincha. I really shouldn't say it's Ikar tefillah because each one has its own Ikar. But the Chazal do in one respect give Mincha a very significant boost. It's the middle of the day, Tfilas Mincha, because it's the middle of the day when you put aside all of your daigas and you go and you daven a good Mincha. Where do we know Mincha from? What's the Makar for Mincha? Well, there are a few Makaris. Well, the main Makar is Yitzchak. Vayetze Yitzchak Losuach Basode. What did the Chazal say? What's Losuach to speak? Losuach? Chazal say, Ein Sicha Ela Loshon Tfila. And the Gemara quotes Psukim to support this. So what do we learn from this? It's a very strange word. The whole essence of Mincha is the Shorish is Sicha. Siach. The shorish of Vayetze Yitzchak Losuach Basada. The shorish of Losuach is Siach, which also means to speak. Siach means to speak. What is Siach? 318. What is Mincha? Mincha is when it gets dark. See, Shachris, the sun is shining. Daven Shachris. Mincha, the sun is setting. Things are not going your way. Life is getting dark. And it's getting darker and darker. And there's no way to control. What do you do when it gets dark? You have to pray to Hashem. What's my prayer going to accomplish? It's getting dark. What is siach? One above yeyush. Even in the darkest of times, when the sun is going down, things are not going your way, the koyach of mincha is, don't give up. Don't be miyayish. Yeyush is 317. Be above Yeyush. Take the midah of Avram Avinu. Vayodok eschanichav. 318 men. The koyach of Avram Avinu is, don't give up. That's why mincha, precisely mincha, is called in the Torah lasuach, lashon siach. The shorish is siach. When the sun goes down, you have to, don't have despair, strive to accomplish. The mispalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu could save you even in the most difficult situations. Now, your third example, this week's parasha as well. We learn about Yishmael. This is a beauty. This is not his. He says that he told over the Svarta, then someone went and told him, someone supplemented what he said with the following insight. It's a remes, but it's an awesome, awesome remes. We have here Yishmael. Yishmael is born, and she doesn't exactly get along with Sarah. Hagar doesn't exactly get along with Sarah. And Sarah says, Avram, get this woman and her child out of the house. And indeed, Avraham says, okay, we'll do it. Hashem tells Avraham, you do whatever Sarah says. And that's it. He's thrown out of the house. And what happens? Let me find the place. Give me 1 second. Vayomer Avram el Sarah. Okay, it's in Vayero. So I'm making a mistake. Give me 1 second. Okay, Paragim, but it's also over here. Okay, let me just make sure. Vayim Samal Hashem al Ein Hamayim Bad Midbar. Alayim Der Shuvayim Hagar Shvachas Rami Yalim Zevanoch Yisalich. Gvid Barachas.
Paragim Chaval Pasuk Kazayim about saying, oh, my Shavuot.
Okay, so I made a mistake. It's next week's parish. Okay, in this week's parish we have, she's thrown out of the house before she gives birth to Yishmael. I'm sorry, right. But she became pregnant, she had a miscarriage, correct. Now we have to go fast forward to Parashas Vayera, and then Yitzchak is born, and then Yishmael already is 13 years older, and they see that they're playing around, and Yishmael almost kills Yitzchak. So now Sarah says to Avram, you must get rid of him, get rid of both of them. And indeed, what happens? Avram says, Arois, leave. Okay, Perek Chof, Al Pasik Tez Zayin. Let's go back, Pasik Tez Vav. Vayichlu hamayim. No. Let's go back even one pasuk. Pasuk Yudalu. Vayashkem Avram abayik vayikach lechem lechem asmaim. He takes bread and a pitcher of water. Vayitin el Hagar. Some al shichma puts it on her shoulder. Yes, hayelad vayishalcheha. Vatelech vateisa. And they go and they wander b'midbar Be'er Shava. Vayichlu hamayim in achemes. There's no more water. That's it. It's over. What does Hagar do? She doesn't have much faith. She doesn't have much hope. Vatashleches hayeled. She throws her child. He's a big boy. He's 13 years old. He's dying of thirst. Dehydration. Yishmael. He's dying of dehydration. Vatashlech es hayeled tachas underneath achad hasichim. What is hasichim? Rashi Targum says ilonaya, a type of tree, some type of, I don't know, some type of tree. I never knew what this is. What does Rashi say? Tesvav, a brush tree, a certain type of bush. So, but the words, why did the Torah choose to use the word of a siach instead of an ilon, tachas, an ilon, tachas, a snare? There are many words in Tanakh that could be substituted for. It's an unusual word. The answer is, there are three words here together. What does tachas mean? Simply, it's underneath a tree. Tachas, achad, hasichim. Tachas also means minus, below. Achad, one. Minus one. Hasichim. What is sichim? Sichim means be above Yeyosh. Yeah. Yeyosh is 317. Yeyosh means, what is Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu, I have 318 men in my army. We're not Miyayesh, we're above Yeyosh. Tfilo, Lasuach Basa, the Siach. She gave up. She took Siach, which means the Mida of Avram Avinu, where she came from. She grew up in the home of Avram Avinu, Hagar. Hagar was the maid. She learned the Mida, never give up. She now gave up. Tachas Achad. She went down one level. One level from 318 down to 317. And what's 317? Yeyosh. It's all over. Yishmael is going to die. He's going to die of dehydration. Vateishev atelchla mineged harchekim tachave keshes ki omra al ereb mos hayoleth. Unbelievable. So you have over here the choice word of siach by Hagar, even though she knew better. She came from Avram. And we have tfila. Lasuach basa, the siach koyach of tfila is never to give up. Eliezer, the army of Avram against all odds, is 318 because it captures the essence be above Yeyosh, and the Gemara Masech, the Sukkah, is perfect. Captures mamish with perfection the essence of what this woman was telling Rav Nachman. I was never Miyayish, and I'm not a liar. I'm not a liar because I come from Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael, we never give up. All comes together in a very perfect way. This is the Torah from Rav Pinchas Friedman in the Sefer Shvilei Pinchas. Okay, let me go to another idea, another short idea, another idea from Shvilei Pinchas. This is from a volume which is very rare. This is from one of the first things that he printed. I also found this. I don't want to dwell on this. I just want to make this point. It's a small point. It has very very great meaning, but I don't. A lot of his things are very Kabbalistic, like you see, this is like numbers. So this is even more Kabbalistic, but it touched me, so I want to share it with you. In this week's parasha, we learn about Lot. Avraham Avinu was devoted, belev nefesh, to Lot. He risked his life. A suicide mission. So he mentioned the reason why he went, risked his life, was because he was really loyal to his brother. Haran was his brother. Haran died, Al-Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Haran was Avraham's brother. Avraham was thrown into a furnace. Die Al-Kiddush Hashem by Nimrod. A miracle happened. Nothing happened to Avraham Avinu. Haran was there. He saw the miracle. So he said, are you going to bow down to the idol, or do you believe in Hashem? Haran said, I believe in Hashem. I'm not bowing down to your idol. So they picked up Haran. They threw him into the furnace. Toast. It was over. He died. Why did Haran die? Because he was influenced by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was in a higher madrego, whatever the reason was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed a miracle for Avraham Avinu. Haran was not so lucky. He died. He was the first. He was wavering. Soif kol soif. Bottom line is, no matter what his cheshbonos were, he died al kiddush Hashem Shema. You can make all the cheshbonos. Look at Avraham. Okay, yeah, these are all nice things. Bottom line is, when you're thrown into the fire, deep down, you know you're not coming out. That's the way it goes. If a miracle happened for him, it's not going to happen for me. He threw himself into the fire. He died al kiddush. That's an incredible thing. The first person, yeah?
I came across yesterday. Yeah. In her shul, I believe it was Darizel.
Yeah.
That Haran, the American,
yeah,
was reincarnated as Aram. Because, you know, Haran, and he goes through the special the letters in Haran, okay. And Aharon has the same letters with the addition of the Aleph. So Haran had the right qualities, but it was missing the Aleph of Hashem Achad.
Okay. Okay. Very okay. Absolutely. The Mara. The Chidah is very much into this. And the Rav Chaim Vital, Gilgulim, Trace, Adam, Noach, Enochanan. There's a lot of this is Kabbalistic stuff. I try to stay away from this because it's a little bit mystical. But yeah, I am Panim L'Torah. Absolutely, the different similarities. Ishe Hatanach, to study the Ishe Hatanach and to see patterns in Ishe Hatanach and to show relationships. Okay, but so now, so what happened? So it's an incredible thing. What Haran did was an incredible thing. Haran had an incredible schosim, and the proof of the pudding is who came from Haran. Melech HaMashiach. From Haran comes Lot, from Lot comes Moab, from Moab becomes Rus, Hamaviah, all the way down to David. David is Melech, David Melech, Yisrael Melech HaMashiach, Malchus David. And where does it all come? It's amazing. The end, Yimos HaMashiach, Melech HaMashiach, will bring Shlemus to the world. Who? Not Avram.
Haran.
Avram's brother. I mean, of course, it's all the blood merges and mingles, but it starts with the brother of Avram who gave up his life, Al Kiddush Shem Shemayim, that's Chus, Lot, so on and so forth. Okay. Now, in this week's parasha, so it's really amazing. In this week's parasha, Avram Avinu, Vayorek Es Chanichav, he's risking his life, suicide mission to save Lot. Who is Avram really saving? He's saving himself. Because Klal Yisrael needs leadership. Avram Avinu provided the world with Klal Yisrael. That to be makir that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. But Klal Yisrael needs Malchus. Without Malchus, the world, the mission of Klal Yisrael is incomplete. Who was the one that provided the Malchus for Klal Yisrael? It was Lot. It was Haran, Lot. So Avraham Avinu was really planting the seeds by saving Lot, was planting the seeds that would one day give keel to Klal Yisrael and be able to take Klal Yisrael to the next level of Malchus. Now there's another person in this expansion which seems very insignificant and is a big source of trouble, of tzar and churban in this world, and that's Yishmael. Yishmael is born. Hagar, Avram Avinu does not have children, so Sarah says to Avram, take my shivcha Hagar, and maybe Ulai Ibonim, and Ulai maybe I will be built through her, shall have a child, I'll be a child's spiritual mother, I'll assist in raising Yishmael, and maybe that way I'll also have some kiyum, I'll have some tikkun, I'll have some legacy in this world by taking care of Yishmael. And Hashem says to Avram, it's not going to come from Yishmael. Your yichus, your legacy will not come from Yishmael. Vayomer, Hashem says to Vayomer Lukim El Avram, Sarai Ishtecha, guess what? Good news. Good news. Le'sigra Shema, Sarai ki Sarah Shema. Uverachti Yisav Adam Nosati Mimena L'cha Bein. Wow. You're going to have a son. She's only 90 years old, but she'll have a son. What happens? How does Avram react? He laughs. He was mispalel. Yishmael should live. Why was he mispalel? Does Avram Avinu, Does he doubt Hashem's yicholas? It's a very difficult parasha. There are many mahalachim. Look at the Ramban. Look at all the Rishonim. It's a very difficult mahalach. But let's see, learn with a munah pshut. Avraham Avinu had full of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why did Avraham Avinu seemingly doubt Yishmael? Doubt that ki be Yitzchak yikor l'cha zara and be mispel lu Yishmael yichyel lefonecha. Vayom Elokim Hashem says, Avol sorry ishtecha yoledes l'cha bein v'karos Hashemo Yitzchak. V'akim Olas Yitzbri Siyitol v'risa olam l'zarach rav. And Hashem says, Uli Yishmael shematicha. Okay, I'll listen to you. Don't worry, I'll listen to you with regard to Yishmael. Now let me tell you what Rav Pinchas, again, only giving you, I'm not intending to make a whole dvar out of this. I just want to give you some little insight to what Rav Pinchas Friedman, he has a very big piece on this, and he collects Arizal and Rav Chaim Vital and the Malbim and a large collection of Rishonim to say the following Yisoid. And it's very difficult, but it's something which at least I found very interesting. In Sefer Shmuel, in Perek Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Zayin, we learn about the rebellion of Avshalom. Avshalom rebels against his own father. He takes the meluch for himself, and David's on the run. And we learn about his cabinet appointments. Perek Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk. Let me see which pasuk it is. I wrote it down somewhere here. Pasuk Chaf Hei. Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Hei. Avshalom is in charge. He exiled his father. And Avshalom now needs a general. Who's the general? V'yes Amosa, Sam Avshalom, Amosa. Sam Avshalom, he said, the name of a person. Tachas Yoav al Hatzava. Yoav was the general. Now that we have a new king in charge, David's on the run. So he appointed the new general. The change of general is going to be Amosa. Who is Amos? Who is this person? The Amosa Benish. He's the son of man. Who's the man? Ushmo, his father's name was Yisra HaYisraeli. That was his name. Who is he? He married the daughter, he married David's sister. Asher bo el Avigail. He married Avigail. Who is, this is not Avigail, David's wife. There are many Avigails in Tanakh. El Avigail. Who is Avigail? Bas Nochosh. Nochosh refers to Yishai. Yishai is also called Nochosh because Yishai did not have any sins. He died only because of the Chet Eitz Hadas that was brought upon by the Nochosh. Achos and Avigail was the sister of Tsuruya Eim Yoav. There were two sisters, at least, in David's family. One was Avigail, one was Tsuruya. They were sisters. Tsuruya was the mother of Yoav, and Avigail was the mother of the mother of Amasa, and the husband was Yisra HaYisraeli. Okay, so there's over here a Radak and a lot of Torah. To make a long story short, this person Yisra HaYisraeli that's referred to over here in Shmuel Beis is referred to in Sefer Divrei Hayamim by the name of Yeser HaYishmaeli. Yeser the Yishmaeli from Yishmael. Let me read you the Radak. Give me one moment. Pasuk Chaf Hei in the Radak. He quotes the Gemara, as Radak often does. Yisra HaYisraeli uvedivrei Hayamim Yisra HaYishmaeli. So what's going on? So the Radak says, simple interpretation, Yisrael Hay, he really was a Jew. Ela Shagar B'Yeretz Yishmael, he lived in the Palestinian territories. He lived in Saudi Arabia. Okay, he had business there, so he spent most of the time in the oil plantations in Saudi Arabia. B'Eretz Yishmael, Lefichach Nikra Yisrael, V'Yishmaeli. Yishmaeli al Higiroi, where he lived, V'Yisrael Shalo, don't think that he was a Yishmaeli. Okay, now this is what the Radak says, but you should be aware that there's a whole long list of Rishonim, and this is a Gemara, which, let me just tell you the Gemara, let me see if I can find the Gemara, it's a very important to read the Gemara. Oh no, I don't think I have the Gemara here, let me just see, Rabbi Sein Darshum, he quotes the Gemara, but he doesn't tell me where the Gemara is, and in the Mikros class I had when I was preparing, there's a newer edition, it actually tells me where the Gemara is, so I'm going to have to do it from memory, because he doesn't quote, I really need all the Gemara, and Yevamos. I don't know where it is. Mem Zayin, maybe it'll take me too long to look it up. Unless I wrote it down. I think I relied on this not to write it down. Okay, so I'll just do it from memory. The Gemara in Masechta Yevamos talks about this person Yisra Amosa, who is Yisra HaYisrael. The Gemara there tells over the story about Shaul. Shaul needed a person to fight Goliath. Goliath was a very great threat to Klal Yisrael, and David HaMelech, David was not in the Melech, David was then just a soldier, just a person who or carried the armor for Shaul, volunteered to go to war against Goliath. So they Goliath a Plishtim. And Shaul said, "There's no way he'll slaughter you." David said, "No, he's not going to slaughter me. I'll take care of him for you." So after a whole give and take, they let David go to battle with Goliath, and Shaul gave him his armor. Shaul gave him his personal armor. And Shaul was shocked that the armor fit. It fit perfectly. Even though Shaul was very tall, David was not necessarily so tall, he was shocked. So right at that point, Shaul already had suspicions. This is a nace. Who knows? He's going to be the next Melech. The jealousy already began the threat already began to percolate at that point in time. So Shaul said, "Who is this person? Let me give me his bio. I want to hear some. Google him for me. I want to see his history. He knew very well, but let's do a deeper search. Bring out the background search. Who is this person here exactly?" So Avner said. He told who he was, and then I think I'm not sure who it was, and then it was. I don't remember who it was. I forgot who it was. That's when we need the Gemara. They said, before you ask if he's really fit he's not even fit to come into Klal Yisrael, because do you know who he really is? He comes from Moav. Oh, Moav. Lo Yavai Amoni Umoavi Bekal Hashem. So Avner, who was then David, then Shaul's general, said, "No! It says Moyavi v'loy Moyavis. He comes from Rus. Only the men, not the women." So there was a give and take. What's the difference? So what? Just because I'm money, they would say, if that's the case, so it should be a mamzer and not a female mamzer. There's a whole give and take. We have to go look at the Gemara give and take. They started being followed back and forth. Finally, Avner said no, because the pasuk gives a reason. Even though it may very well be true when it comes to other types of nationalities and other type of problematic people, there's no difference between the male and the female. But when it comes to the case of Avon Moyav, there the pasuk says Moyav v'loy Moyav is Memelam. Since it says the Tama, because Ashlokin is the lechem of Ayayin, Midarka. Who is the derech to bring out lechem then? Men bring out, not women. It's their job. Mela, it's not the woman's problem. And then the person who was the other person, I forgot who it was arguing against. It was on the tip of my tongue. Doyek Hadomi said no. The men should have brought out food for the men, and the women should have brought out food for the women. So just because it says Ashalakidim Aschim Balachma Vayayin, there's no such drasha Amoini Vloy Vloy Mayavis. That's nonsense. Just like we don't say Mamze Vloy Mamzeres, it's a man and a female. And when the pasuk says Ashalakidim Aschim Balachma Vayayin, the complaint is directed against both the men and the women. The men should have brought out food and drink for the men, and the women should have brought out food and drink for the women. So therefore, no one from the nation of Moav is allowed to enter Klal Yisrael, and David is not a member of Klal Yisrael. This is what Doyek HaDoimi said to Shaul. And Avner had nothing what to say. He was stuck. At that moment in time, it was about to be issued a formal edict that David is out. David is not a Jew. He's a non-Jew. He's permanently removed from Klal Yisrael. Along came Amasa. Who is Amasa? Amasa is the Ish HaYisraeli. Benish. Amasa is a Benish. He's a person. He's not the son. Benish. Benish. He is a human being. And you know who Amasa has another name? Amasa is Yisra HaYisraeli. Who is Yisra HaYisraeli? He's known in Divrei Hayamim as Yisra HaYishmoeli. Now the Radak here quotes the Chazal that he lived. He was a Jew who lived, but there are other Rishonim, and it says this Beferish in the Yalkut Shemayni and Midrashim, that he was a convert. Mm-hmm. He was really born and raised Arab. He was from the nation of Yishmael. He converted. He converted to Yados. At that moment in time when he heard that Avner had nothing what to say and they were about to issue this edict that David and anyone that comes from Moab is out, this person, Yisra HaYisraeli, who was also Yisra HaYishmael, he was a ger from Yishmael, took out his sword and took hold of his training of Islamic fundamentalist training. That's what it says. The Chogar Atzma, he took the midos of Yishmael, what he learned in his upbringing of Yishmael, and he picked up his sword and said, I have a tradition from Shmuel Haramasi, going back way before all of you people, Shmuel, that when it says in the Pasuk, Moyavi, Moyavi v'loi Moyavis, and even though it's a good kasha you have, the women should have come, but this is tradition, Mesoira. And anyone that wants to deny this, who wants to whitewash history, you want to rewrite history, you want to whitewash and go take all the right like art school books and rewrite, I don't mean anything there, but also you want to go and rewrite things that never happened, I'll take my training that I've received as a Yishmaeli, all the violent training of V'hu Yihye Pera Adam, Yada Bakol V'yad Kol Bo, I'll finish you all off. I'll finish you all off. So here we have a convert from Yishmael, who took the midos of Yishmael, for who he per Adam, Yodai Bakol V'yad Kol Bo, I'll kill you all if you don't believe this Messiah that I have from Shmuel HaMasi, Moyavi V'loi Moyavis. And they said, we believe you, and he succeeded, and now he was accepted in Klal Yisrael, Moyavi V'loi Moyavis, Rus HaMoviya is A-OK, David HaMelech is part of Klal Yisrael, and David now can be king.
David is from who? Rus?
Rav comes from Rus. Rus comes from Moyav. Rus comes from Moyav. And Moyav comes from what? And Moyav comes from Loit. And Loit comes from Haran. Now we understand what Avraham Avinu. So it comes that incredible chiddush. In this week's parasha, Yitzchak is not born until Shvi, until Maftir almost. Yitzchak doesn't come into existence. But the beginning of the parasha is all about Loit. Avraham Avinu is obsessed with Lot. Lot, 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 we got to save you. What are we going to do with you, Lot? Go here, then there's a wall. Save you. Half the parish is about Lot. And then the next half of the parish is about Yishmael. Finally, Yitzchak is born. And what does Avraham say? Lu Yishmael Yichya Lefanech. I need a Yishmael. Rachmana Litzlan, Yishmael, what they've done to Klal Yisrael, the horrors are just not to be imagined. But why was Avraham in the Spala? Because there was one thing Avraham Avinu needed from Yishmael. He needed this person, Yisra HaYishmaeli, to save the Malchus of David. David, Avraham Avinu, he risked his life for light to bring Malchus. But it's a shvachama, it's a week that David HaMelech is on shaky water because Moyavi, V'loy Moyavi, Moyavi, Moyavi Amon, Moyavi Kal Hashem. It was only because of Lu Yishmael Yichya Lefanecha that will one day come a child from Yishmael, a real Yishmaeli who will convert and will have all the midos of Yishmael, and he's going to get up with the midos of the cherev, the sword, and he's the threat to kill everyone if you don't accept the Messiah from Shmuel Ramasi. That Amoyav Lemoavis, he saved the Malchus of David after the seeds have been planted. Avraham Avinu vayorkes chanichov, and he goes and he gets Lot. Oh, there's a Lot. From Lot, there will be a David. And now, Lu Yishmael Yichya Lefanecha, there's going to be a Yisra HaYishmaeli, and that Yisra HaYishmaeli is going to take the midas of Yishmael and save Lot, save David. Now we'll have Malchus is ready. Now we can come to Maftir. We can now come to the birth of Yitzchak Avinu. That's really next week's parasha. I'm getting confused. The Mila takes place. I'm sorry. Yitzchak is born in parashas Vayera. I'm sorry. But these are the seeds are being planted here. Klal Yisrael needs Malchus, needs leadership, and the leadership is David. And David only was spared because of Yishmael. Now he can come to Yisrael. And what's scary is Ma'is Ha'avos Simula Banim. It's beyond us how Yishmael can somehow help us. Achmanu Litzlan, what Yishmael has done to Klal Yisrael, begin to describe all the horrors. People have died, Al-Kid Hashem Shemayim, because of Yishmael in recent times and not so recent times. Chazal say that the Yishmael did tshuva b'sof yamav. He let Yishmael. And the Chazal say, it's a Chazal. It's a simais of a similar bonim. Yishmael will do tshuva before Mashiach comes. I'll do tshuva. Hafli, how could that pass? The Magister doing it, Shmuel doing tshuva. But we see even more than that. Not only do they do tshuva, they use their midos to preserve the malchus of Klal Yisrael. Hafli, a fella. The seeds for Klal Yisrael being planted here in Parshas Lech Lecha. Okay, we'll stop here.